This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Monday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the four-hour satellite soiree. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Tacoma to Tampa, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studios. These are challenging times. Rocket Mortgage prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com from their home to yours. The team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Happy Monday. Big show coming up for you this morning here on the program. We've got Wall Street Journal, Major League Baseball author and reporter Jared Diamond to join us coming up at hour number three. We'll talk about the possible solutions for baseball's season with Jared coming up. He's also the author of a new book called Swing Kings. We'll discuss with Jared coming up here at hour number three. We also this morning have worst athlete quarantine ever. How exciting is this? There's so many athletes, of course, right now buying time until their season restarts, if it does restart, and we have the worst athlete quarantine ever. That should be fun. This morning, we're also going to ask, did ESPN pick the wrong Monday Night Football Classics to replay? Did Jimmy Johnson take a passive-aggressive shot at Jerry Jones through his social media account? Is the Premier League showing us the way home with our American leagues and what they need to do to finish out their seasons? Did everybody know that Tom Brady was about to leave New England? We've got a couple of quotes that came out of this weekend that suggested as much. We are stunned to a news, this date in mothership history, and how much would you spend on your favorite athlete's towel? All of that coming up this morning on the show. You want to jump in on it? Let's do it. Your phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Let's begin with Tua Tagovailoa, because late last week, he released video of himself working out. Kind of. We know now because of the shutdown, because of the quarantines, we do not have NFL draft picks, potential draft picks, flying to and fro to their potential destinations. We know this. We also know that these NFL executives have to rely on previous game film, no pro days, etc. right now, and no combine for Tua because of the injury. So for Tua, with the hip injury and the ankle injuries, We've been waiting, salivating for any type of intel on whether or not he is ready to be drafted as high as he would likely go. We're talking about maybe him in the top three, top five, top six, but more than likely he is a top 10 pick next month. So Tua ends up releasing a video, which is about 9 seconds long or so, of him simulating being under center, dropping back to pass, and throwing a dart. Now, you should see the reaction to this. It is as though we have seen Patrick Mahomes' second coming. It's as though we were watching Joe Montana to Dwight Clark in the NFC Championship game. The response has been, oh my goodness, can you believe how good Tua Tagovailoa looks? And I have to admit, I'm rooting for Tua. Great kid, great leader, great college quarterback. But let's be honest, it's 9 seconds of video. Can we trust Tua Tagovailoa's health after less than 10 seconds of footage? It is where we begin your cold open.
I'm optimistic that I'll be able to play, you know, this upcoming season. But, you know, I think for me right now, you know, I'm more so worried about, you know, getting better as soon as possible, see what I can do, you know, if I can do a pro day, if I can't do a pro day. I mean, and then, you know, it's really all dependent on what the doctors, you know, have to say to the teams and, you know, what the results come back in as.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Yeah, I would love to believe Tua's video right now, but I don't. But I don't, because that's so different than being under center for 60 snaps a game and throwing 35 times and escaping the rush and getting hit and being tackled and being pushed out of bounds and being pushed into other players. It is so different. I mean, yes, we want to make sure that he looks good dropping back to pass. Yes, you want to see some fluidity from that hip. But, I mean, are we real here? Are we really going to drool over a 9-second video clip? I think here's the thing. People want to believe Tua's going to be great again because he was great in college and because he has all of the things that you look for in terms of a franchise quarterback. Really good head on his shoulders, winner in college, a guy that has put up really big numbers with his arm, and a guy that has the size to translate to the NFL. He's not some type of Jalen Hurts mobile QB that may or may not work because he uses his legs so much. No, Tua's a pocket passer. He is nimble in the pocket, but he's not a runner. Tua Tagovailoa is a tall, strong kid with a good arm that put up a lot of numbers at Alabama. But people want to believe it. And look, I'd like to believe that he's okay, but a little clip of a little video a month before he's drafted is not doing it for me. And this is why I'm really hesitant on spending a top 10 draft pick on Tua Tagovailoa, is that you just have so many question marks about his health at this point in time that how can you possibly take that risk in the top 10? I mean, if it's a luxury pick, I somewhat understand taking him in the top 10, but how many of these teams in the top 10 have a luxury pick? I mean, maybe you can consider the Dolphins a luxury pick because they have 3 choices in the first round. So if they blow it at number 6, it's not the end-all be-all for them. But teams that will trade up, like perhaps the Dolphins would have to get up to get high enough to draft him, this has got to be your franchise guy. You don't blow this and then not pay ramifications for a long time. I'm too skittish on drafting Tua that high if it's my one and only, I've got to get this right quarterback pick. I really am. And look, I love Tua's intangibles and I love his college career, but not only is it the hip, he's got 2 significant ankle injuries, 1 on each ankle as well, that we're dealing with. And so dropping back to pass, a little 9-second video on social media is not enough to ease my fears. I see a lot of people going, oh, wow, he looks great. I can't go that far at this point. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227 on Twitter. DA on CBS. Mraz, what do you think? That video of Tua Tagovailoa, did it ease your concerns about his health at this point in time? He did look fluid.
I don't think there's anything that could ease my concerns about Tua. And you just touched on a little bit of this. We haven't even gotten to the 2020 football portion of the program yet. And since 2018, you mentioned both ankles being a problem for Tua. Obviously, the hip. He's also had a tweaked knee in there, a broken finger, and a quad injury. Look, when I'm drafting a franchise quarterback, and I'm sure we all feel the same way, you, Bogus, Pete the Body, I want a guy I know that I could hope is out there every single Sunday. And if that's just a taste of what we had with Tua of the last 2 years at Alabama, and granted, I understand he was great amidst all the injuries, how can I at the next level expect this guy to be out there for the most part 95% of the games over the next decade? Because that's another part of this. When you're taking a franchise quarterback that high, like some of these teams are going to do, it's not about next year. It's not about 2 years from now. Sure, you want it to be great. It's about relying on this guy for the next 10 years. And I don't know how, based off what we've seen in the last 2 years of Tua's injury history, how you can expect him to stay healthy at the next level.
Let me ask you this. If he did not suffer the hip injury against LSU, if he did not injure his hip, and we were looking at just the ankle injuries from the last couple of years, would you still be skittish?
I would be less skittish than I am, but still somewhat skittish, yes. And to be fair, I probably didn't fully register all of the ankle and every other injuries until the major hip injury. Because once that comes out and you read up more and you go, oh, yeah, he's had this. Oh, yeah, he's had this. Now, it's not my job, since I'm not an NFL scout, to have studied those things. But, yes, I would have been slightly skittish. But the hip is a major, major injury. So, yes, he seems to be progressing nice based on 9 seconds. But that's still a major injury to overcome. And ultimately, how can you expect the hip not to have ramifications? And I know some guys are different. I mean, I'm not trying to compare Tua, a world-class athlete, to, you know, people or family members, but I've seen young people in my life have some kind of hip injuries, and it seems like they're always just off after that. This is top medicine. I know that sounds insane, but I cannot rely on this guy to be healthy. He's a franchise quarterback. He's a guy you're putting your job into, drafting that high in the draft with this injury history.
And let me just correct myself. Against LSU, he was healthy, obviously, the entire game. That was that wonderful back and forth last year.
He didn't look healthy. He played good, but he didn't look healthy.
True. The following week is when he injured the hip against Mississippi State. Are you just drawing on your experience of Peter Schwartz having a hip injury? Is that what you're saying here? Because he took a full year to come back after the beach injury that you don't trust Tua?
You know, truth be told, I actually was referencing one of my uncles who was never a good softball player again. But now that you mention it, you're right. I totally forgot about the Peter Schwartz hip injury. That was a guy who needed tennis balls on a walker for basically 8 months to get back after a bad beach football injury.
He's still milking that injury a year and a half later.
He had to lean on Dennis Byrd for obviously, you know, getting over it. It's unbelievable. Yeah, so if you're looking at Peter Schwartz's timeline, how can you put a top five pick into Tua?
For those that don't know this backstory, 2 Julys ago, I believe, he was playing beach football with his kids. He ran a play, I think, he wasn't automatic quarterback, right?
Well, he was. So I could just give you a quick play-by-play, Jacob
Wilkins style.
Yes, please. All right, so this would be, picture your mind, we're at Jones Beach, Long Island, July of 2018. Schwartz, automatic quarterback, one son playing defense, the other son on offense. Schwartz drops back to pass. Oh, he flips it backward to Jared. There's Schwartz running a wheel route. Bradley doesn't know who to cover. Jared delivers it to Schwartz. Schwartz rumbles up the sideline. Oh, the turf monster got him. He's writhing in pain. What is wrong? The medics are on the field. Oh, Schwartz has blown out his hip. There will be no free Miller's Ale House tonight. The stretcher is out. The hospital is here. We'll report. We'll get Leslie Visser in a little bit to discuss what happened to Peter Schwartz as he gets wheeled off to the hospital. But again, there will be no Kids Eat Free tonight.
Well done, Mraz. That's good play-by-play. You know what? That's some of your best work that I've heard in a long time.
Can you tell I'm bored this morning?
I think so. We have you now in the dojo of death against Bogus calling Schwartz's hip injury. So Schwartz crumples down into a lump on the beach. It turns out he blew out his hip. He then does he get a replacement hip?
I believe they went new. Well, how does that work? Are we getting a hip from a cadaver or is it metal?
No, I think it's either plastic or metal. Anyway, they replace his hip. It takes him a full year to rehab. He's on crutches.
Right.
I think it's crutches, or no, it was a walker, as you said, with tennis balls on the bottom that he's walking around CBS Sports Radio with. He then ends up making his rehab story supposed to be this inspirational journey where he's tweeting about this incessantly, using Dennis Byrd, the former New York Jets defensive end that was paralyzed in a game, as his avatar for inspiration. He finally loses the walker. We are walking with him, proverbially, in this rehab. And then he returns to Jones Beach, the site of the injury, 1 year later, to then finish the play. And he finishes the play and posts all about it. So knowing that it took a full year for Schwartz to come back from his hip injury, I do wonder what the true timetable is for Tua, you know?
Yeah, I mean, well, those now are the only two big-time quarterbacks we've seen with the same injury. So you'd have to ask the Dolphins their thoughts on drafting Schwartz before drafting Tua.
So Andrew Bogus joins us this morning here on the show. Knowing the timeline of Schwartz's injury, what do you think that means? What do you think that portends for Tua?
Yeah, I mean, it makes no medical sense to compare Peter Schwartz to Tua Tagovailoa, but I don't know how we don't, since it happened right in front of us, and it was such an indirect route to clean health.
Yeah, I know. And so when you look at that timeline, Bogues, when you look at that timeline, it's hard really to trust Tua's hip for the draft, isn't it?
It is, but the problem is I don't want to be the guy that didn't take Tua Schwartz. I'd rather have him and have the hip crumble on my watch than pass on him and have him return to peak Schwartz for somebody else and be full of regret that I didn't take him when I could have.
I do think there's one interesting parallel here that we should think about. You know, Schwartz was on two good ankles. Tua has had two injured ankles the last couple of years. So is that more concern that Schwartz, Bogues, can blow out a hip on two good ankles, whereas Tua, he's been limited?
That's a good point. I'd also add that the extra jockalones that Schwartz carries would also make it more obvious or more logical that he'd have a hip injury. What spooked me about Tua is this is a guy in his prime having such a catastrophic injury. So I certainly share your concerns, but I think in the end game, I'm still taking Tua and or Schwartz, assuming they get back to their peak. I'm going to trust the doctor here. If we can get Schwartz healthy, they can get Tua healthy, and then he can be my quarterback.
What's also awesome is that Schwartz documented his rehab every step of the way, kind of like Tua is doing right now. I kind of wonder if Tua has taken a page, Mraz, out of the Schwartz playbook, making sure everybody is on top of his rehab every step of the way.
But here's the problem. If Schwartz was only giving me a 9-second video of his rehab, I'd be more prone to stick with it. The problem is I got the 2-minute long, everything breaking down.
I'll see your Schwartz and raise you a Schwartz.
Do you remember that day when when he aired the clips of him practicing his sign-on for the first time as he worked his way back? And we can finally hear, I'm Peter Schwartz, for the first time in a long time. And he was changing his level and his baritone and going up and down in different mic positions. I mean, that was a very happy day, the first time we got a glimpse at a rehabbing Peter Schwartz.
Look, I like stuffing.
Him silhouette in front of Nassau Coliseum, just limping on in.
It was an emotional time for all of us. Schwartz's rehab back. I mean, really, let's face it. It was one that America will never forget. We were constantly searching for Schwartz updates. What is happening next? What is his status? And finally, he's 100% back and crushing Little Debbie's ho-hos and cakes every single day once again.
I think we're just waiting for now Donald Trump over the next 2 weeks to lean on Schwartz's rehab for how the country can respond now. And then I think we've really hit peak ridiculousness.
No question.
Yeah, what medal can we give Schwartz for his valiant return from this hip injury?
When we return here on the show, we've got your best audio of the day, and that includes a former NBA head coach turned NBA broadcaster saying, I want to coach again. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
You like that, big boy?
I'm gonna do a downer.
Oh, no.
And I don't know why Jay-Z
is an entrepreneur for sports.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's time to Ask the Pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Tweet at me, at DA on CBS. Follow me and tweet me there. Hashtag Ask the Pros. Be listening later on in the show when we'll answer that question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Remember, you can watch the best moments like Hurricane Jen calling JC an entrepreneur.
No.
By going to YouTube and searching CBS Sports Radio. You can binge watch the best of clips every single day and the greatest moments ever, most memorable moments ever on YouTube of the DA Show. We are live and we are running this morning on a Monday morning, man. Coming up in about 20 minutes from now, we'll discuss how much would you spend on your favorite player's towel. But first, it's time for your best audio of the day. Here is Soundcheck.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Mark Jackson was the coach of the Splash Brothers before they became champions. He was on SiriusXM NBA Radio and says he wants to coach again.
Well, I look forward to, you know, I had a great time coaching my 3 years in Golden State. It was a wonderful experience, and I truly look forward to coaching again. I have the best job possible working with incredible friends, people I love, and I value the job and the experience I'm getting. Calling games, it's a tremendous blessing. And at the same time, I love impacting players. I love competing, and I look forward to coaching again one day.
I think that he will. I think that he will. In fact, I'm a little surprised he hasn't already. Mark Jackson has the itch. He's been up for jobs. He's certainly been connected to many jobs. He's around the game as a broadcaster. I think there will be a door that opens up for Mark Jackson here, whether it's in the NBA or college soon enough. But like I said, I'm a little surprised he has not coached already. There's some thoughts that behind the scenes, Mark can be difficult to work with, has some controversial opinions. Maybe you don't want to hit your wagon to those if you're in a certain climate or a certain market. But I think that ultimately Mark Jackson will get an opportunity to coach again. And I don't think it's going to be very long, because the moment that there's this turnover this offseason, you know, one thing he might be hurt by is that the college basketball season ended, and without really knowing the end of it, it'll mean that more universities don't fire their coaches. You know, especially in this economic water, you're not going to just keep buying out your guys, and so he might have to wait another year. But with NBA openings, we would imagine late summer, although again, maybe there's going to be such a short offseason, it could hurt him. But I do think that ultimately, one day in the near future, Mark Jackson is a head coach again. Yesterday, right here on CBS Sports Radio, Mike Francesa hosted a Sunday show. We followed him, actually, here on CBS Sports Radio. And he believed that late summer into fall could actually be the perfect season ever for sports fans.
All these events are going to get jammed into a couple of months where we are going to have sports Shangri-La. Well, we are not only going to have something to watch every minute, we are going to have a major event where every day is going to be like Christmas if you're a sports fan. You are going to have so many events jammed into such a tight window. So for every day you don't have an event and every day you don't have a game, you are going to get it back. And it's going to be like, are you kidding me?
I hope that he's right. I hope that's exactly the way that it is. But the only problem with that theory is that what happens if things just get canceled? Like, we don't get more March Madness. We don't next year get two March Madnesses. That just got canceled. And let's just hypothetically say the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs get canceled. We don't get that back. It doesn't get shoehorned into next season. It's just, that's gone. Same thing with the NBA season. Same thing with people talking about Major League Baseball. You know, the idea here that I think Mike is talking about is the big events, if they do pull them off, will feel like they keep coming fast and furiously. If we get the NBA postseason, if we get Major League Baseball's dash to the finish line, if that coincides with football and it coincides with the Kentucky Derby, etc., that would be great. It's not going to be great if these things are just flat out canceled. And finally here, as part of Soundcheck, we've got Scott Boras on MLB Network Radio discussing what happens with World Series week if the league gets pushed back.
You know, I've always advanced a couple of things. One is having a seven team where we have 45% of our league in the playoffs, and that's certainly a possibility, and having a World Series week where we can have seven consecutive days of play if needed, or five or whatever, and have notice where we're going to have it at, and having a gala for all the awards there, and have all the stars there, have a reason for teams to bring their season ticket holders there. There's just so much advancement that we can grow the game and provide really a proper stage for the World Series, other than it be a last minute where basically you really don't know if you can plan for a World Series until the potentials of a week to 2 weeks under our schedule.
So I don't love this idea unless it's a situation like this year, because I don't like taking away home games from World Series fan bases in stadiums. I mean, let's face it, the Yankees not playing the World Series at Yankee Stadium would feel really hollow. The Dodgers not playing their home games in the World Series at Dodger Stadium would feel ridiculous. Fenway Park, Wrigley Field, these are the cathedrals of the sport. Having the World Series there is good. Putting it in Globe Life Park because there's a dome and we can set it up, putting it at Petco Park, to me, is a loss. It's not ideal. This year, you might have to do it because you might be pushing up against bad weather in November, and so you want a neutral site that you can guarantee good weather. I get that. But Scott Boras' idea that every year they should make it a neutral site so that there can be a fan fest or a red carpet awards around it, to me, is stupid. You're taking away the soul of baseball, the home stadiums for World Series games so that you can get a red carpet event. I mean, come on. So you can invite sponsors to it? Plus, it also happens during football season. If you want to do that, blow up All-Star Weekend. That's when baseball should really put its face on the sport and where it stands in culture, and it's got the calendar to itself, and you know where it's going to be, and that's the time to do it. But making the World Series the time where there's a red carpet event and a neutral site for sponsors, I mean, stupid. And that's your sound check this morning. Standing by with your headlines is Andrew Bogish. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, DA. So these headlines are sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. This was 2 weeks ago.
I'm okay. I feel fine. I don't feel any of the symptoms, but I can't stress enough practicing social distancing and really, you know, keeping yourself away from a large group of people.
That was Celtics guard Marcus Smart announcing he tested positive for coronavirus. As far as we know, those symptoms never got worse. And last night, Smart announced he has a clean bill of health from the Massachusetts Department of Health. Utah's Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell got the same diagnosis on Friday, while the rest of their teammates and staff never experienced any symptoms. Former NBA star Stephon Marbury trying to get 10 million N95 masks from China to New York City. But not surprisingly, government red tape apparently has things tied up at the moment. Whether you're donating 10 or 10 million things to hospital workers, it seems like contacting the facility directly is your best option. Involving officials and offices doesn't seem to help too much. Guys, we did our best to poo-poo the XFL as it danced on the grave of our beloved alliance.
Right.
But we have to admit the league did work for at least one guy. QB P.J. Walker now has work with the Carolina Panthers.
I thought the XFL was going to turn out the way it did. I thought that I thought we just had to go out there and play. You know, I thought the fans was good, and I thought they came out and supported very well each week. And the talent level was amazing.
Walker was on the Jim Rome show back on Friday. He slots in behind Teddy Bridgewater.
When he says that it turned out the way he expected, does he mean he thought he would get through half a season and then the campaign would basically be canceled?
Right, and then he'd be and Matt Rhule would get $1 billion to coach the Panthers and sign him to reunite with Temple.
Yeah, it went about as I expected. I thought that maybe we'd get through like 4 or 5 weeks. There'd be like the most famous thing would be like either a big snake of beer cans or beer cups. And then other than that, like we wouldn't even get through the rest of the season. Basically how I expected it.
Yeah, he will not go as far as saying he predicted the epidemic we're currently in, but he did assume right. that something out of his right. control would shorten yeah. the XFL season.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Ask Cardale Jones if it went as expected for him.
Yeah, for Cardale, same thing. I thought I'd be a bust within the first month. Yeah, about went about I thought.
Yeah, I think that went as people were expecting for Cardale, and I'm not sure if Cardale was going that way. Former Eagles corner Ronald Darby is reportedly on his way to Washington, and the Lions are signing former Packers receiver Geronimo Allison, just 34 catches despite playing every game last season for him. And when you cold opened with Tua, you mentioned the difficulties NFL teams have right now in doing final checks on draft prospects. But teams are able to call or video conference with players. Pro Football Talk says teams can connect with those players 3 times a week, with each call being up to an hour. The NCAA's Division I Council votes today on granting spring sports athletes another year of eligibility since they're not playing right now. It's likely to pass, but the exact form is unclear. Schools would normally have to match this year's benefits package in the next academic year, but they may be able to make some tweaks for these athletes, like offering only room and board and not any tuition assistance. So once again, big-time athletes are not going to be affected by this. It's the smaller sports where the hammer might get dropped if schools are allowed to in any way kind of reset the framework for their quote-unquote scholarship. You know, baseball, lacrosse kids have partial scholarships at best. And because there's so much money involved and space and whatnot, they may be able to cut back and say, sure, you can play next year, but we can't give you the same amount of help that we were giving you, which then may lead to kids saying, you know what, never mind, I'm a senior, I graduated, I'm moving on, but we'll see how this all plays out throughout the day. Georgetown sophomore forward Mack McClung declares for the NBA draft, but leaves the door open to return to school. And 3-time All-America Texas A&M guard Kennedy Carter is leaving for the WNBA. Players who are 22 and 4 years removed from high school allowed to leave early. The WNBA draft will be held as scheduled April 17th, but virtually. NASCAR did it again yesterday, a virtual race at Texas Motor Speedway. iRacing vet Timmy Hill got the win. Number 647 of his career.
Wow.
Yeah. I guess these bad boys happen all the time. So he's got 647 career wins.
So he races like every night of the week.
He's doing it right now. He just got 651 right. in the last 12 hours. And again, what's remarkable about this is you've got Denny Hamlin, an actual NASCAR driver, doing these races in a $40,000, like full-on, totally. top-to-bottom, yeah. all-the-bells-and-whistles simulator. Then there was a dude named Garrett Smithley. All he was using yesterday was a steering wheel connected to his PC.
Yeah, basically, you've got a guy that has a full official rig set up in his living room, and then you got a guy that is basically like the steering wheel broke off at Dave and Buster's, and he just plugged it into his laptop.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
And finally, the International Boxing Hall of Fame is postponing this summer's induction ceremony in upstate New York. It'll now be combined with next summer's. This year's enshrinees include Bernard Hopkins, Sugar, Shane Mosley, and Juan Manuel Marquez.
So I wonder if baseball's going to do the same thing. I mean, their induction ceremony is usually early August, right? I guess they're still trying to plan on that. But is it possible that this year's baseball Hall of Fame also gets pushed into next summer's Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know how they would think about doing it at a different time this year, especially if, you know, that Scott Boras idea where we're kind of all jam-packed into the year, if you want to tie it into something else. You know, Cooperstown at some point becomes not the place you want to be when it's cold. But yeah, I mean, that's certainly, everything is closed now, and they've already canceled some events that are happening now. So yeah, I mean, it's not going to happen as scheduled is my guess, but where they push it to after that is what I would just
Although, early August, maybe you get away with it at that point in time. Maybe we're back to kind of normal in June and July. One can only hope. All right, thank you, Andrew. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, or on Twitter to jump in, DA on CBS. How much would you spend for your favorite athlete's game-used towel? I think you'll be astounded, maybe even stunned to a news about the total coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
That big boy.
How long have D.A. and Marash known each other?
Yeah, the network, yeah.
Oh, so they have been working together that
long?
From
January of 13.
Okay.
Of 12.
That explains a lot of things.
Well, why? What do you mean by that?
I mean, just like how that whole thing, that the dynamic of that whole thing over there.
Right, yeah, of course. They've been working together for a while now.
Right.
D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
A fine Monday around here. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. Our toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home, hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. That's easy. Listen to the show in podcast form. Everybody, you can download the DA show to listen when you want. You can check us out whenever it is that you have some free time. Full episodes of the show available in podcast form. Also available, shortened, abbreviated, the best of every single day. Go to Apple Podcasts, go to radio.com, Stitcher, Spotify, or anywhere else that podcasts are heard. So how about this story? Kobe Bryant's final game happens. He scores 60 points. We remember that very, very well. And after the buzzer, he delivers his Mamba Out speech to the crowd at Staples Center. You probably remember this. And during this, you may remember he also has a towel draped over his shoulder. It's just a towel that was used during the game to basically dry off his brow, etc. Well, as he walked off the court, a fan snatched that towel. And now it's been sold multiple times. In fact, it was just sold again over the weekend. Now, of course, Kobe Bryant memorabilia has gone through the roof since his passing in January. How much would you guess that Kobe Bryant's towel went for? Okay. There were 16 bids on this lot. Now, the lot not only included the towel from his final game where he performed the Mamba Out speech, but also two tickets from that game. So two ticket stubs from that game and the towel. What would you guess for a towel and two ticket stubs from his final game? Maybe, would you say $5,000? Pump it up. $10,000. Even more. $15,000, which has been $15,000. That's a nice car. Even more. $20,000. Nope, even more. $25,000. Keep going. More than $25,000 for two ticket stubs and the towel that Kobe used in the Mamba Out speech. This lot went for $33,000. In fact, it came out to $33,077.16. I'd like to know how they got to the 16 cents part. $33,000. $33,000. The man who bought the towel and the two tickets, reportedly a devoted Lakers fan. This is from the president of the auction. His long-term plan is to create a museum in Southern California. Apparently, the same bidder also spent $30,000 on an old yearbook from Kobe's middle school days. Okay, well, you're going to have to make back a lot of money on that museum for $65,000 going to a yearbook and a towel. Woo, boy. Now, Mraz, you and I differ on this. I'm not a huge memorabilia guy. You really like memorabilia. Not saying there's anything wrong with it, but you tend to have more stuff in this realm than I do. What do you think about $33K for Kobe's towel?
I think the only way I'm spending $33K on anybody's towel, forget Kobe's towel or anything, is if literally we've gotten to the point where I can't find a roll of toilet paper. That is not something I am spending on that right now at all. To me, look, I have memorabilia, but I'm more into jerseys or something of that ilk. I start to lose focus when people are overspending on somebody's cleat or NBA sneaker that they might have worn at some point. I think once you get to ridiculous parts of the game, I mean, you want to get a base, like, you know, Ricky Henderson steals a base, and you want that base, I guess that's cool. But when you get to towels and mouthpieces and just gross parts of this, like we did that story a couple years ago, somebody's gum that was spit out during a baseball playoff game or something went for a crazy amount of money. I mean, the guy sweated on a towel. He didn't wear it. That's gross. No, $30,000? You're telling me I can get it on eBay for $11? Maybe. $30,000? What are you, crazy?
Yeah, I can't see $30K for almost anything that I would spend money. I mean, I guess I would have to have that type of money to just frivolously spend it on crazy stuff like that. If, though, he's developing a museum, does it give him a little bit more leniency? I mean, here's the thing. Would you walk through the museum and be like, oh, wow, a yearbook from middle school. Oh, yeah, there's the towel that he had. I mean, to me, game-worn jersey from one of the NBA finals. The basketball that perhaps, you know, he used in that game. Maybe something from the slam dunk contest, a game shorts from when he won the slam dunk contest. These are things that I think I could get behind. I don't know if I really would care about seeing the towel from his Mamba Out press conference.
And to that point, DA, I don't know how often or maybe the last time you were at any sort of Hall of Fame. I enjoy them. I enjoy all of them. But part of what makes any of these Hall of Fames or museums cool is that when they have the memorabilia up, usually next to it's kind of a small picture of said player and whatever piece of equipment or anything like that. And it kind of, you could put a picture and put in your mind and take you back to watching that game, let's say, or whatever is going on. You can't have a picture or take you back and go, oh, I remember Kobe washing his face with that towel. I mean, come on, that's not
You can
thing.
Remember it. You can have a picture of him with the microphone and that final Mamba Out speech with the towel over his shoulders.
I guess, but now you're going to go, oh, yeah. How many people even remember that he had the towel on? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. It doesn't feel all that memorable.
It just,
I mean, here's
ridiculous.
The thing. Clearly, the price got jacked up because Kobe passed away. I mean, that's
sure.
The biggest part here. My guess is if he was still alive, that towel doesn't go for even half that, right? I mean, I think
I agree that it definitely got enhanced because of the unfortunate passing, but it's still Kobe Bryant, and people seem to spend ridiculous amounts of money on ridiculous memorabilia when it comes to star players. So I don't know about half that. I mean, could that towel have gone for $20,000? Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I think the Kobe market has exploded for obvious reasons. And I don't know, there's also something that feels a little icky about all of this. Like, we're auctioning off Kobe's towel two months after he passes away. There's just something that I'm uncomfortable with about this whole thing. And, okay, some people would argue, well, now it's time to honor him, and that's what these guys are doing, that they're bidding on this. But there's always something that's a little unseemly about, you know, bidding on things that people wore or used just so shortly after a tragic passing. I mean, Kobe's only been gone for 2 months. Can we hold off on the auction for a little bit here? I mean, can we give it some time to breathe? I mean, I know with coronavirus, it feels like that was a million years ago, but it's still only 2 months ago. We have time for auctions here. I don't know. It just felt like, do we really need to do this now?
Yeah.
When we come back, what was that?
No, I was going to say, I agree. I'll talk to you in a break.
When we come back here on the show, we have two more voices that say they knew Tom Brady was leaving. We'll discuss coming up here next. Should more of the world, the sports world, have known? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.